I'm Dr. Robert Mather. I am the conservative social psychologist. Welcome to my podcast. My podcasts are available exclusively at theconservativesocialpsychologist.com. Today is Friday, April 9th, 2021. I'm sitting here with my new haircut, which is obviously not important to you as an audio listener, and my Truth Verified mug, which is also not important to you because you can't see it. However, I got the haircut, and for a international film festival, I'll be moderating a panel discussion with this evening, and I will also be taking my Truth Verified mug there, which will get broadcast to wherever that gets broadcast out to. So shout out to the Tommy C Show and the Truth Verified brand that I will be taking with me wherever I go. Thought I'd talk a little bit today about there's a show I'm watching called Drain the Oceans, and they go in and they pull all the water. They don't actually do it, but they use sonar and they map the bottom of the ocean floor, and they go looking for lost ships and different things. And they use CGI to remove the water. It's pretty cool. One I watched recently was the Atomic Ghost Fleet, and it had to do with the atomic testing that was done out in the ocean. And it led me to think about the fact that really, what's left, right? Man is man's biggest enemy now. We're playing God. And of course, this was done 70 years ago. But what happened at Bikini Atoll, I had not heard of that testing that occurred there. And they took everybody off the islands, and then they basically blew up a bunch of their islands, and they brought the indigenous people back and put them back there. And then many of them got extremely ill from the radiation poisoning, and they eventually had to pull them out of there. And of course, as being a former research ethics board chair at a university, I'm very sensitive to the tragic losses that we can sometimes have with our costs of experimentation. And I did a whole article and a number of podcasts on what the government did with MK Ultra back in the 1950s. And 60s. But anyway, it's disappointing when we can be our own worst enemy. Biden's Truth and Reconciliation Commission is something that they were toying with creating to try to fight back on what they called misinformation. And if that's not a communist propaganda type move, I don't know what it is. What is, right? That's going to lead us down the path of postmodern BS, which is going to be, right, our reality is whatever we want it to be. And of course, that sets the stage for propaganda. Not lost on me is the fact that they've started referring to it officially as the Biden-Harris administration, not the Biden administration. If you notice, if you watch speeches that Biden's giving, instead of being down at the border, which he's supposed to be helping out with, VP Harris is always in the background. And that's a classic propaganda move that was, I think it was Watson, as a researcher, a behaviorist, started, which is you start them out. He started off with, in fact, it was Watson. He started off with the smoking campaign to get people to smoke more. And he had people smoking in the background, and he worked them up further and further up to the foreground. And eventually, that made smoking something that was cool, right? And it got people addicted to smoking. Same thing that's happening here, right? Start her off in the background, work her up a little bit closer. Next thing you know, she's at the podium, and then she's the president, right? It's a classic propaganda technique, moving something from the background to the foreground progressively, no pun intended. What about Trump's Facebook voice ban, right? He can't even be heard on somebody else's Facebook account. That's some scary level censorship that we're seeing. This is unprecedented level of communist propaganda moves that we're seeing out of big tech and out of our government. We need IDs to go get our vaccines if we get our vaccines, but they don't want IDs for voting. What world are we living in? Baseball picked sides. I can't believe that baseball jumped out in front of and basically stepped in front of a moving train that they didn't have to get in front of. They're still going to play all their Atlanta Braves games in Atlanta, right? They were not so upset about the politics of Georgia to move the Atlanta Braves out of there or stop playing games there or stop paying taxes when they play there, because the players pay their taxes in whatever state they play in for the game. But sure enough, they decided to move the All-Star game, which is going to alienate a pretty large number of fans. It should alienate fans of all varieties, right? Because just picking sides and taking an issue on politics and making it part of your business model is not a particularly good move. Recent research on yawning has uncovered that lions supposedly yawn and facilitate alertness. So here's the premise of it. So basically, before you get to this, you've got to go to the fact that people don't understand, scientists don't understand what yawning does. There's a theory out there that by opening the mouth and stretching it out, it decreases brain temperature and makes and could possibly make somebody more alert. We all know that whenever we yawn, we get more alert, right? That makes total sense. I don't. When I yawn, I get more sleepy. But anyway, that's beside the point. There's competing theories. Nobody knows. So whatever people tell you about yawning, don't believe them. Other than the fact that it's contagious, right, among humans. You yawn and you see somebody else yawn, you think about yawning. A lot of you are fighting off yawns right now. Well, with the lions, what they found was that the lions, when one would yawn, there would be a contagion of the yawns across the lion pride. That is actually pretty interesting. The fact that it does spread in lions, it means they're attending to each other, and that's important. But I'm not buying the fact that it's cooling their brain temperature, making them more alert, and so the alertness spreads through the pride, right? So they're all yawning, they're all tired, and suddenly they're all alert. I'm not buying that part of it. But what is fascinating is the contagion part being found in that species. Speaking of other species, I'll talk a little bit about lonely ants. A recent study isolated ants between 1 hour or 28 days. These were ants that were taking care of their brood, and they'd pick them up and they'd move them someplace else and keep them away from all the others. And then they go in and they'd test, you know, look at their genetic structure and different things. They found that the ants' immune system was affected by being in isolation. The longer they were in isolation, the more that the genes that were related to immune suppression and stress response became less active. So genetically, they were changed to a certain degree in the expression of how their immune system was responding by being removed from others. Now, were they lonely, or was that just the fact that they weren't exposed to things that the other ants have? That's still up for debate. But what we do know is that lonely ants have a suppressed immune system response. Other recent research across species found that red deer have personalities that are distinct. And that's been found in many different species where you can describe them consistently with behaviors. You know, if somebody's bred dogs, they know some dogs are meaner than others, and some of them are nicer than others, and they have little personalities. Well, the red deer apparently do also. Be sure to check out my book, Implicit Biases in the Unconscious, Liberal Biases, Racial Prejudice, and Politics, for sale at barnesandnoble.com. Listen to my podcast exclusively at theconservativesocialpsychologist.com.